Today we're going to go into some scriptures found in 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in the fifth book and focusing in on the last few verses. And it's going to fit in right with the last song that we sang. And it is, He took all the sins. He took everything for you and I and everyone in this world, especially the people that will be in heaven with Him. He paid the price for us to be with the Father. And so that is, the whole world needs to hear that message. We need to be reminded of that message, but we need to learn how to appropriate it to us so that we can take it to the world. So if you're in Sunday school, it's going to fit in right with Paul's testimony that we went through in Acts 23 as well. Before we get started, let's bow our heads, ask the Lord to bless this time, and just have His way with us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just come before You, and Lord, I thank You for this time that we, as believers and children of You, are gathered together and given the freedom to learn about You. Lord, I just pray right now that You would descend down here, that You would speak through me, Lord, that You would fill me with Your Spirit and give me power to proclaim the truth that You have for this people here in this auditorium today. Lord, I just pray that You would move Eric out of the way and take the flesh. Lord, if there's anything inside of me that wants it to be my way, Lord, I pray that You would take it and do it Your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And like I said, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go ahead and read the scriptures here. And then we'll dive into what I've called, Paul explains the ministry that God has given to us believers. And so I trust that most of us are believers in Christ here. If you're not a believer in Christ, you're going to learn enough today to become a believer in Christ. So pay attention, and there are things that you can learn. But today this message is for us to believe in Christ, and what does God have for us on this earth? And it is ultimately to get you that aren't in Christ into Christ. We want you to be part of the family of God as well. So 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21 reads, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And so again, the goal, in my opinion, of the life of a believer, what God wants us to do, is to ultimately understand what He has done for us, appropriate that to us, so that therefore we can use that as a springboard to get other people that message. Because if we're familiar with the gospel, it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And it was first given to the Jew, but then given to the Greek, the Gentile also. Most of us would fall into the second category of that. But anyone that believes in Christ is a new creature in Christ. And therefore you call upon the name of the Lord after hearing the word of God. And you're saved and you're born again. Once you're in that family, the family of God, I believe it is our job to teach other people about this reconciliation. And a lot of people don't understand what they need to be reconciled for. But God is separated from the world due to the sin that's in this world. And so I think the first thing that we need to understand, and I have it in our notes here, is that we are separated because of the fall of mankind. And so I'm going to read Genesis 3. Verses 23 and 24, that's going to introduce us to Adam and Eve. That's going to introduce us to what happened in the Garden of Eden, how sin came into this world. Because sin is a hard thing to explain fully, but when you look out in the world and you read the Word of God, you cannot deny that sin is not in this world. And the way that sin is explained in the Bible is very easily seen and visible out in the world today. At the end of the day, sin brings death. And we're going to learn about why that is the case, and we're going to learn that that is why God drove man out of the Garden of Eden and put angels in front of them, in front of the Garden of Eden, so they could not go back in. And so therefore it was guarded. And so there was a picture of separation, a picture of we need to get back into fellowship with God. So Genesis 3, 23, verses 23 and 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the garden from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so the tree of life is something that they are commanded to eat of to stay alive. Do not eat of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're going to die. And so therefore, when they ate it, they died. Pastor mentioned last week, I believe, they didn't die physically in that day. But the Bible says, in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. There was a death that took place there, and it was a spiritual death. There was a chasm or a separation that took place between God and man at that time. And so, we're going to skip down on the third part of my notes. We're going to go back to James here in a second. But Romans 5, verses 12 through 14 explains how this affects all of us. Because you say, okay, well, yeah, Adam, that's not me. Eve's not me. But this is applicable to all of us. And this is what Paul says in Romans as well, chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And so, the Bible is explaining that because Adam sinned, death has come upon all men. And it's because all men are choosing to be sinners. All men sin by nature. I didn't have to teach Hugo how to lie. When Hugo found a way to get Audrey in trouble and found it convenient, and he could have gotten in trouble, he lied. I did not have to teach him that. Annie did not have to teach him that. It came convenient, and therefore that's proof that we have a sin nature. All of us have that inclination of some degree. Some are tempted in other ways than other people. But the little kid that steals something from the little candy from the store, there's still something going on in their mind. They want something, and they can't have it. And so when it's convenient and mom and dad aren't looking or the cash register person's not looking, they take it. And so you didn't have to teach them that. They didn't have to see mom and dad do that. So there's more proof that sin is inside of all people. Amen. There's a nature that's bad about us. And so why is that? And how do we get rid of it? And does Jesus want it that way? You know, those are questions that legitimately we need to answer and we should ask ourselves. James 1, verses 13 through 15 brings the point that I said before, that sin brings death. And it's really ugly in between there. Because sin presents itself as pretty and beautiful. That's what people go after. That's why it's attractive. That's why people fall into the traps of this world. They don't go in there thinking, hey, I'm going to fall and die. We avoid catastrophes usually, right? But sin presents itself as pretty, and then the catastrophe comes. So James 1, verses 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so again, the Bible is putting forth a logical progression of what happens once sin is conceived. Sin is brought forth. And it's when lust is conceived, I should say. So lust is this nasty word that's really bringing forth sin. Because the temptation, we all know Jesus was tempted at all points as we are, but he didn't sin. So being tempted is not a sin. It's yielding to temptation of whatever that is and however that looks in your life. But whenever that sin is in your life and it's brought into whatever it is, your life, the world, whatever it affects, the end death, or the end cause, the end result is death. And so, again, living in this life, we can all say we've experienced death. We've seen a lot of things live and die, and it's not pretty. That's not the way that God intended it to be in the Garden of Eden. But yet, now we have to say, what is our hope, though? Because if our hope is just in this life, right? Living as a Christian in this life, then I'm going to say, if we're being honest, most of us are missing out. Because some days just aren't that exciting. They're just not that joyful, right? Because this world is bogging us down. Our hope is in Christ, and our hope is the future that's found in the resurrection. The future, our home in heaven. And so we need to keep a proper understanding that I'm not going to build my kingdom on this earth. And even if I do, the kingdom I need to be building on is in heaven. We need to have a proper flow of that. But also see that there are logical things that we can show people that sin is real. And this is how you can see it in the world. And this is evidence that what the Bible is saying is true. We also want to just be reminded that, like I've gotten the second part here, but God told the serpent that Eve's sin would bruise its head. And so most of us are familiar with the promise or the statement that says, found in Genesis 3:15 here. But I also want you to think that it's because God said it. It's not because you believe it. God said it, and that's why you believe it. That's why it's going to happen. You don't have any special power because you believe it. It's because it's found in the Bible, and therefore God said it's going to happen. Therefore, I believe it. That's what we need to. That's the way we need to explain it too. And sometimes we put the onus on us, or put it back as far as what I know. And it's because God said it, and I trust Him. So Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And so we're obviously going back into Genesis 3, which we read earlier, and that is going to be the account where Satan is introduced, the serpent specifically is called, he's introduced to the story, and he deceives Eve. He tricks Eve into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that is, therefore, what brings in sin into the world. Well, through that, God curses man, curses the ground, curses the serpent. There's a curse that's placed on all different facets at that time there. Unfortunately, we're still living in that cursed world. And you can still see the way that flowers grow, trees grow, humans live out their lives. The curse is still here. It hasn't went away. There's a time that it will be restored. And ultimately, that is when Christ comes back again. He starts reigning for the 1,000 years until death is completely finished. So we're going to continue to go. That will lead us right into 1 Corinthians 15, verses 25 and 26. And it just says, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." And so, just understanding a proper place of why you're here. What are we here for? It's not for your kingdom. It's not for your admonition. It's not for your benefit. God does a lot of things for your benefit. But your job is to be a blessing to your fellow mankind, ultimately to Christians, but it's to give glory to the Lord, it's to serve the Lord, it's to be in tune with Jesus Christ, because all good things flow from that relationship. And there's unfortunately a movement or just a prominent idea out there of, yes, it's okay to do good things. Yeah, doing good things is great. But we have people that instead of putting on Christ and out of having Christ on, they serve Him and do good things. People in the world are just doing good things. You have different self-help books, different self-help avenues. Everyone wants to help someone clean this up, take this away, do this. But they don't want to go to Christ. And so you can look as good as you want, you can polish the outside as much as you want. But if Christ isn't on the inside, then it's all in vain. And so I'm saying that's more of a worldly mentality, but it has gotten into the churches too. And so we need to have it in order too, that we put on Christ because He saved us. That's the only way we can put on Christ and live according to His will. And then through that, we can start to teach people about the reconciliation that all men need to God. So we're going to go to number three, and this is not an accepted version of most religious people in the world because it's too exclusive. The only way to be brought back to God is through His Son Jesus. And the Bible is crystal clear that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And most Christians understand that, but even within Christianity or so-called Christianity, people that claim the name of Christ, that's not a widely held view anymore. And that's a scary thought, to think that you could say you believe the Bible, but some of the things Jesus